Joining us in conversation now is Zenon Cahoot, outgoing director of the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies at the University of Alberta. Now, this is a name that is familiar to any student of Ukrainian studies in Canada, as he has written and published copious amounts of valuable and fascinating material on the topic. Yet, if you do a Google search for Zenon Cahoot, you'll get the impression that he is a modest man for all his accomplishments, and that getting him to talk about himself is probably going to be tough because he tends to focus, modestly and quietly, on his accomplishments and the work of the institution that he has been at the helm of for the past two decades. He'll be leaving his position as director of the CIUS later this year, and I was fortunate to convince him to come on to Nash Holos before that happens to tell us a bit about himself and the institute to which he's devoted the past two decades of his life. I caught up with him by phone at his office in Edmonton earlier in March.
Now, as director of the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies, you started in 1992. In March, so that's exactly 20 years ago.
Well, actually, in 92, I came to CIUS from the States, but I was the director from 1994, and prior to that, in 93, I was an acting director. So my first position in 92 was not as director.
Okay, but you've got the tenure, you've got the time in, and I'm sure you were working quite hard from day one.
Oh, yes, very much. In fact, those were very heady days, and you worked very hard.
Yeah, it was fun work, though. Exciting times with Ukraine just being newly independent.
Exactly, and that was what made it so exciting, because we were trying to do everything from establishing some relationship with the newly independent Ukraine, to providing information to the government, that is to the Canadian federal government as well as provincial government, about Ukraine. We had many, many inquiries. So it was a constant effort in that respect. At the same time, we're still trying to do our normal activities, which were to provide these intellectual tools for the Ukrainian community and for the Canadian society. So it was like 24 hours a day of activity.
Indeed. Now, let's talk about some of those projects for listeners who may not be aware of them. The Encyclopedia of Ukraine, I remember, it was going on for, a decade? It's a long project.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Long project. And we've completed really in 95. And if you go anywhere, you'll see those huge five volumes of the Encyclopedia of Ukraine in English. Mm-hmm. But that was not the end of it. We are continuing working on it now and getting it online. And constantly new entries are being done. And as you know, an encyclopedia is out of date. The day is published.
Right.
So you have to update it constantly. So it is an enormous project,
An
ongoing project, a never-ending project.
Right. And so it's now online.
Yes. You can look it up at our website, the CIUS website, and it frequently pops up when you're doing Google searches, too.
Okay.
Individual items out of our encyclopedia.
Yes, I've certainly have encountered many when I'm looking for something, an entry from the encyclopedia will show up on Google, so that's very good. And that is a five-volume, and it's still available for purchase in the actual book form?
Yes, it is. And you can purchase it from the Ukrainian Study Fund in Toronto.
Ah, okay. And now then you said you went on to another one, History of Ukraine Rus, the Tuhushevsky Translation Project, and what's that all about?
That is another huge project. As you know, Mikhail Tuhushevsky wrote the fundamental history of Ukraine in 10 volumes, actually 11 or even 12 books. And the Peter Jacek Center for Historical Research has as a main goal of translating and basically even updating that fundamental work. And we've been doing that since the early 90s.
Wow.
In a way, this is a fundamental work which establishes the existence of the Ukrainian nation from, let's say, almost prehistoric times to the late 17th century. Ushevsky never completed the work. And in a world in which denied the very existence of Ukrainians as a nation, this was a very fundamental sort of scholarly demonstrations that Ukrainians exist and have existed for a long time, that they do have a history.
And is it available for the general public?
Yes, through CIUS Press, one of the largest publishers of Ukrainian scholarly publications.
Now, that's just one of the many things you've done at CIUS. There were collaborations with other international universities, collaborations to work with Ukraine to, I guess, further Ukrainian studies since the field has been opened up after independence.
Yes, we have, and we have major projects in Ukraine, in Lviv, in Kharkiv, and in Zaporizhia, in Kyiv, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have branch offices there, an affiliate of CIUS.
Okay.
So in Kharkiv, we have part of the Kowalski Program for the Study of Eastern Ukraine. In association with Kharkiv University, there is also a Kowalski Institute for Ukrainian studies at Kharkiv University. I mean, we fund it and run it. And it's part of the curriculum at Kharkiv University in Ukrainian studies. It does a lot of publications in Ukrainian. It has a annual essay contest for students. It runs academic conferences. On the whole, the concept is to provide the people of Eastern Ukraine with the sort of the materials they need to know their origins, their history. And so in that respect, it also is sort of a nation-making project.
Right.
And similarly, too, that institute that's located in Kharkiv has a filial also in Zaporizhia, in which we have also a major, major project that already has 20 volumes of an oral history project. And the interviews have been going on now for, over a decade. And these are interviews of ordinary people as far back as they can remember. So some of them extend as far back as the Holodomor. Most of them are from World War II on.
Wow. So these are people living in Ukraine and you're recording
yes,
their memories.
Yeah. They're going to the villages. So finding these materials, publishing is one of the functions of that. Then we have, in Kyiv, we work very closely with the Institute of History, with the Kyiv Mohyla Academy. We co-sponsor its academic journal, Kyivska Akademia, also talks, publications, and so on. And also the Institute of Ukrainian Archaeography, which is the publication of sources. In Lviv, we have a number of efforts. The major one is with both Ukrainian Catholic University and with the Lviv Ivano-Franko University to study modern Ukraine, modern being 19th century on. And in that respect, we fund a good journal, Ukraina Moderna, and also actually are involved in their master's and PhD programs in modern Ukrainian history. So we're quite well placed all over Ukraine.
Do you train, you provide materials then? How are you involved with all these academic programs in Ukraine?
I think the first and foremost is we provide the funding.
Ah.
They would not exist without our funding. But we also provide materials, personnel, people, all of these things.
You know. Oh, wow. Did you have any problems getting them established in the first place? Did you run into opposition locally there with officials and politicians?
At the time we're establishing these programs, no. To tell you right now, there's sometimes some difficulties in maintaining it, but so far we've been able to do all of them. I have one program that I haven't mentioned yet, which we really run out of here, is the Baturin Project, which for the last 8 or 10 years we've been doing these archaeological digs in the former Hetman's capital in Baturin, in eastern Ukraine. Baturin was the capital of Hetman Mazepa. It was thoroughly destroyed in 1708 when Mazepa opposed Peter I and razed the ground and all the people slaughtered. So, and it never really recovered. So it's mostly archaeologically reconstructing what the Hetman's palace was, what the various churches and so on. And we've been doing that in conjunction with the Chernihiv Pedagogical Institute, another university, with their students and with Professor Mazentsev from Toronto, from the University of Toronto, Pontifical Institute studies, providing some of the academic know-how, and the rest comes from Ukraine. So every year, let's say by June, we have these digs, and then they go up to September, and then they're covered up and then continued the following year.
Wow, what a project.
We've been doing this for 10 years already.
10?
With quite a lot of success, yes.
Wow, amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, we've been talking about CIUS and its work in Ukraine, and of course it is a Canadian institution, and you mentioned there was a lot of funding going to Ukraine, but that's not, there's no Canadian tax dollars going to Ukraine.
Everything that's going to Ukraine is private donations. Over 60 endowments, people contribute specifically for projects. There is very little tax dollars going even to the institute. Our budget is at the University of Alberta, our operating budget, that is what the province gives the university or the university, is only one-third of our budget. Two-thirds is entirely out of private funding, grants, endowments, and contributions. We could not do even a tiny fraction of what we're doing based on what we get as an operating budget.
That speaks a lot, very, very well to the Ukrainian-Canadian community, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes. And we get funding all over. We get them from the States and even from Europe.
Mm-hmm. So you've made quite a mark then in the field of Ukrainian studies. Just briefly, for locals at the university, for students that attend the University of Alberta and take part in some of the programs. Well, what are some of the programs offered for students at the university through the CIUS?
Well, the institute itself is a research institute.
Oh, I see.
So outside of the institute, there are full programs that you can take in history, in language, in literature, and folklore, all the way from bachelor's to PhD. Now, the other things we offer to students as well as to the public here is a full range of academic lectures every year, every semester, on various topics. We bring in speakers and so on. Sometimes those speakers speak not only at the university, but also at community functions.
Mm. So these are speakers from all around the world that you bring in?
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Certainly a lot of great work for Ukrainian studies and for telling the world, not just Canadians, about Ukraine and what's going on in the Ukrainian community here. For you now, you're winding down, though. You're going to be retiring soon.
Well, I'm not retiring. I am stepping down, director of CIUS. I'm still going to be professor of history in the department, and I'm still going to be running one of these programs, the Kowalski Program for the Study of Eastern Ukraine. I'll still be managing that program. But running the entire institute. Someone else will be doing that. And the university right now is undergoing an international search to find a successor.
Okay, so no rocking chair and golf clubs for you. You're still going to be working.
Yes, I'll still be working.
I get that.
Not yet.
I get the impression that you probably will never retire. This is obviously a labor of
love.
That's
what my wife thinks, yes.
Yeah.
I'll never retire.
Obviously, you love what you do, and you've done wonderful things. Thank you so much for the great contribution that you've made.
You're quite welcome, and thank you for having me on your program.
And good luck in your new path that you're choosing, and hope to catch up with you sometime again soon and find out next steps of the project you're working on.
Okay, good. Bye-bye then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.